Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 yep, seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Ball mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, who is officially back, and Sean Desai, who is also officially back. Welcome back, gentlemen.
See, you know what happens when those lighter weights go on Fox, and it's nationally broadcast. We're in such disarray afterwards.
It wears you two out, really, and then you
that we don't show up.
Right, you need to take a week off.
Well, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
All right, so we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, not the least of which is UFC 163, which took place in Brazil, which means there were probably a lot of fighters on that card that you might have not been intimately familiar with, but I thought some very exciting fights on the undercard leading up to a super lackluster co-main event of two guys I would probably not miss seeing again ever. And then a fight that I thought, Sean, was getting really interesting right at the point of an injury that prevented it from continuing, and that is between Jung and Aldo in the main event.
That was a good main event.
Now, I will say that I agree with, well, everybody on earth, that Aldo won those first two rounds handily.
Sure.
And I think towards the end of the third round, it seemed like what boxers would call loosening up. The Korean Zombie seemed to be loosening up and starting to come forward and do what you thought he was going to do in the beginning, but turned out to maybe be somewhat of a strategy that sort of paid off. He was waiting for Aldo to throw that kick in the first round, kneed him essentially in the foot and broke his foot and took that weapon away. Aldo, being the champion that he is, switched to another weapon in the arsenal and started the takedowns and the jiu-jitsu, and I think took the Korean Zombie, if I'm going to jump in his head for a second, maybe a round or two to kind of figure out how he was going to combat that. And then you started to get this great exchange towards the end of the third and into the beginning of the fourth round. And then if you missed it and haven't paid attention, what actually happened to end that fight? The Korean Zombie throws three punches. On the third punch comes, supposed to be an overhand right to Aldo's head, comes over the top of Aldo and essentially catches the crook of his elbow in Aldo's dome and knocks his shoulder out of socket.
Pulled his shoulder out because it got yanked on and kind of Aldo was pulling back, correct?
Yes. And then so being the zombie that he is, tries.
He looked like a zombie. He was just trying to put his arm back on.
Trying to put his arm back on.
I was like, man, that would be so cool if he does it.
Right,
you know?
Trying to put his trying to put his arm back on, and then Aldo, smelling the blood in the water, starts throwing kicks at that dislocated shoulder. The Korean Zombie, like every human being on Earth, can't continue with that level of pain,
sure,
and that was all she wrote.
And you know that's I was really glad to actually see, or the people's response, basically, like, you saw that thing popped out, you know what I mean? And and you know like when people say, oh, I had this injury, and the crowd boos, and it's like, oh, no, I'm not making excuses, I wasn't, like, we saw that injury. And that kid, he tried to keep going. I think like one time Uriah Faber busted his hands, so he just started fighting with the elbows.
He was fighting Mike Brown and broke both hands, fought with his elbows. Yeah.
And when you see stuff like that, when it happens, it's cool to see guys that try to push forward.
Well, it's interesting in that fight, though. You see a little bit of that back and forth, and you talked about it, Eric, in the third and fourth round. It was, when we were talking about it earlier in the week, something that reminded me a bit of that George St. Pierre Condit fight, where maybe he never really came back in that fight. But, man, you would like to see more of that fight.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
you would like to see more of this fight without that shoulder injury, definitely.
And I would say, Ken, when we were watching the Condit-GSP fight, at that moment where that head kick rocked GSP, you wanted maybe seven rounds, because then it would have been really interesting. And this one gets ended prematurely because of the injury. But I know you hate this word, but I would love to see those two again in a full fight.
Do you think, though, the way the fight was going, before we talk the R word with Sean?
Sure.
You take a big, heavy breath every time we mention rematch around here. Do you think Chan Sung-jung had anything for him in that fight? He had some momentum here and there, but is he gonna do anything in that fight?
Well, you're dealing with two things, and Sean will be the first to disagree with me, which is why I love him as a friend, because he will do this. I think two things. Aldo won one and two handily, probably won three handily. All I'm saying is, from a fan of combat sports, it started to get really interesting to watch at the end of the third and into the fourth. Do I think the Korean Zombie would have won? I have no idea. But as
No, he wouldn't.
But as a fan, I would like to see the rest of the 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Whatever the outcome was.
Can we start there? Because it seemed like it took him those three rounds to loosen up.
Well, but, I mean, whatever the outcome was, which seemed to be that Aldo was going to win, and I really think that Aldo is one of the most underappreciated champs that they have. He's been undefeated for 8 years.
Oh, yeah.
Every person they put in there, he dispatches in whatever way possible. This fight, I think, was... not that beating the Korean Zombie is the crown jewel of your career, but you saw what makes Aldo special.
Oh, yeah.
You took away his number one most destructive thing that he has, which is those kicks, and you took it away in the first 60 seconds, and he still dismantled you with something that you don't regularly get to see from him, which is the wrestling and the jits.
He was injured in that first 60,
yes,
correct?
Yes, he broke his foot.
Now, is Korean Zombie taking credit for throwing his knee into that kick? Because I thought that was just... being a coincidence.
Well,
that he kicked the knee.
I don't know that he's taking credit for it, yeah. But Aldo in the press conference and afterwards was talking about how he figured that was a scouted move by the Korean Zombie and knew that it was coming, and whether it was happenstance that it happened.
Is anything a coincidence in a fight, though, Sean? I mean, you've told us before the opposite, that you're always doing something in a fight, and if you land a punch, even if you're looking down, you were throwing that punch. If he's able to block it because he's scouted out the fact that he's going to have to deal with those leg kicks and he's moving his leg around and he happens to knee him there.
Well, like, for example,
if
I kick somebody in the ribs with my left foot and their right elbow catches the top of my foot, even though the kick landed and I hit him in the liver and the guy's going down, my foot still hurts because I hit their elbow.
Right.
So was he lucky that his elbow hit my foot? Sure. Let him be lucky, because guess what? I just kicked him in the liver, so he can be lucky all he wants. But, that's what I was asking. Is he taking credit? Because some gyms, when I'm training a guy and I said, listen, if you don't have strong shin bones and you don't want to check somebody who kicks like Aldo, you know, instead of lifting up your leg to check, just turn your knee outward about 30, 45 degrees. And if they hit the lower part of your knee or the top part of your shin bone, it's going to hurt them a whole lot more than it's going to hurt you, because you have more bone density there,
right,
than at the bottom of the ankle. So, no, it's not coincidence. But I'm saying, is he taking credit for it?
Not that I've seen, but he doesn't seem like the type of fighter that would. He seems like the type of fighter that wants to go in and fight. And whatever the fight happens. But Aldo certainly thought...
Like Tito would take credit for that.
Yes.
He was like, yeah, man, I put my knee there on purpose.
Chan Sung Young, yeah, he's not going to take credit for anything after a loss. He's not that kind of dude.
But Aldo is certainly saying that it seemed like something they had scouted. They knew he was going to throw leg kicks.
Stevie Wonder can see that he's going to throw leg kicks.
Right,
that's not like a surprise.
But what's
next? You don't need a scout for that.
What's next for Aldo is now he's dealing with kidney stones, so it looks like he'll be out.
Ooh.
So Korean Zombie taking credit for that.
Yes, he is.
He's like, I planned those.
So he is going to be out for a minute, and obviously the next up for him, if he's going to stay there, and at this point Dana said, look, I think he needs to stay at 145. He's not quite ready for 155, whatever that means.
Who, Aldo?
Yeah.
Really?
He was like, he's
so wait, Dana wants to move the champs around now in weight divisions.
No, Aldo had said, had he beat the Korean Zombie, which he did,
he
was going to go up, because that was more interesting, and that cut for him, as we talked about last week, is brutal. And as you're getting older,
yeah,
you know,
oh, yeah,
you want to make that cut a little bit easier on
your
body.
Yeah, as you're getting older, you want to fight bigger dudes. Yeah, it's
here's the thing.
Has this worked yet? Who has this worked for?
Here's the thing also, I didn't know he broke his foot until later on. You know what
right,
I mean?
Nor did I.
At the press conference is when I saw,
yes,
oh, this guy's limping pretty bad. So going into that third and into the fourth round, I started to scratch my head going, man, if that was – whatever the case is, if that was Anthony Pettis, because he was supposed to be fine that night,
yes,
then that might have been a complete different fight. Even if he would have kicked Anthony in the knee and that broke his foot, I mean, just that night only, I think Anthony probably would have beaten Aldo with what I just saw on that Saturday night.
But what's interesting about Saturday, going back a couple of weeks when we had Kevin Lee on the show, he talked about tough dudes. And he's had some fights, and we talked about this on and off the air, where, man, he thought he was just going to go in there and win that fight.
True.
And tough guys are hard to beat no matter what. And even if you're a lot better than they are, they're hard to beat. And we saw two versions of that on the pay-per-view, where we saw a guy who broke his foot and then a guy who literally tried to put his arm back on after it fell out.
Yes.
Yeah, those are tough guys.
I mean, those are two tough guys going against each other. To your point, though, Sean, I certainly think Anthony Pettis is a very special fighter.
Yeah.
And a very special fighter versus another very special fighter. And Aldo makes for a fight that I think everyone wants to see at some point. And would I be excited to see that if he beats Benson Henderson and has the belt and they merge the two belts and do a super fight?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, let's do
However, Ricardo Lamas would be next in the featherweight division, and he said he's willing to wait, and he should. If anyone
but
has learned,
a kidney stone and a broken foot, that's going to be a long wait.
It's going to be a minute. But
ouch.
Anyone who's
but Carlos Condit did it right.
Condit did it, and if anybody's watched Pettis' career, you probably don't want to wait that long. You know, you don't want to take the Clay Guida fight.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't fight Clay Guida.
You know, so you kind of want to wait, and I think that's another interesting fight for Aldo. I don't know that Ricardo Lamas is the guy that's going to have answers for Aldo, but much like what we talked about before when Anderson was fighting Weidman, had he beaten Weidman, what else would have been left for him? If Aldo beats Lamas, there's literally nothing left.
Nah, yeah, there's nothing at 45.
That rematch, that zombie rematch that Sean's calling for.
That Sean is calling for,
yeah.
Certainly, yes.
Yeah, that one.
Yes. The R word came out of my mouth.
Not at all. The okay. Co-main event, I mean...
Who was the co-main event again?
Exactly. Lyoto Machida.
Vinny and Parosh.
I wish it was Vinny and Parosh. That was a very fun fight to see. But it was Lyoto Machida taking on Phil Davis. Yeah. And you texted me in the middle of that fight saying Machida needs to evolve, and I certainly think—
The fact that you could say that about Machida is a very crazy thing to say to begin with, because, you know, Machida is like this crazy dynamic fighter. And I'm over here saying that he needs to evolve.
Well, what he needs to do, and I think it was Ben Folks who wrote this, and I thought it was a very astute way to point it out, is what Machida does as a fighter is he's very precise. So he only expends X amount of energy to do the things that he wants to do. And that makes it very hard for judges to judge.
Right.
Because judges don't, regardless of—
You mean Cecil Peoples.
Regardless of what we say on the show about judges, most of which is pretty valid, they don't in real time get to see fight metric stats. So it's not like they're looking at these numbers and then deciding to vote against them, essentially.
Right.
They are only looking at the fight and writing down a number and going from there. And when you have a guy like Lyoto Machida who fights in this style where it looks like he's backpedaling and doing that sort of thing, and then he explodes for a minute and then backpedals, it tends to look a lot like, to a layman, that Phil Davis is getting the better of those exchanges. And I'm not one to say that one way or another that fight can't be divided down the middle, because I think by and large it was super boring.
I also disagree with the judges. I don't think there was any winner in this fight.
This is what I would say.
Yeah.
And the end of that fight seems to agree with us, because Lyoto Machida is now no longer in any sort of talks for title contention. Neither is Phil Davis. It is now landing on the shoulders of Glover Teixeira. If Glover beats Bader,
right,
he is next in line.
Well, Machida is an idiot for not taking that title shot when it was offered to him back when Chael fought Jones.
Yep.
So, you know what?
Yeah. Don't wait. That's again the lesson.
Yeah, there
here.
You
Don't
go,
wait.
Man.
And you're going to be calling Bellator.
I was interested in today because I wanted to get your thoughts, Sean, on Phil, because I, regardless of how the fight kind of turned out, takes two to tango, I thought Phil looked a lot better than he did in that Emmons fight.
Oh yeah. Phil's starting to. He's still a little bit slow in the stand up. You know, like you could tell that his stand up, he's going through the combinations, which most coaches like. But in the beginning of a fight, be very, you know, surprised. You know, use stuff and be very unconventional and be creative out there. But then as you get tired, you're going into that third round, and, you know, then start going through those deep combinations that your muscle memory should take over. Well, Phil just kind of does it right in the beginning because he's not a Muay Thai expert.
Right.
So it looks kind of slow at first. And I think that what that does is that just sets the pace for the audience going, okay, is this going to be a long one, you know, or what? What's going on?
I'm
going
to give Eric the fact that Phil looked better than he had in the prior fights, but I'm wondering, where are we going with Phil Davis?
That was
going
to be my next question.
He's 28 years old. You mentioned it, and that was a great segue, Sean. The things you want to learn, the things you want to keep learning, he's 28.
Yeah.
He's been fighting since, what, 2008, 2009?
Yep.
He's been doing this a while now. He's kind of, it's that old dog, new tricks kind of thing. Is he ever going to get much better there? And if he doesn't, who's he really beating? I wouldn't peg this Phil Davis as usually beating a guy like Lyoto Machida, but he did. So I guess there's that. You can put him in there with anybody, and he can slow him down to the point where it's a boring fight, and he might win. But is he ever going to go in there against guys that are up and coming in this division or guys that have it down? Even older dudes. Glover Teixeira is a much older guy, but he seems much more well-rounded. Phil Davis, monster wrestler. Monster wrestler. But he's out there, and he looks like he's doing introductory bag work when he throws some punches.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
So he clearly needs a marquee win at this point. Sean, any ideas of who you'd put
him
against?
That's not it, too. That's what's hilarious about this. If you would have said 6 months ago, he's going to beat Machida, oh, that'd be a great win. That'd be a great win. He'd be right in title contention.
It's a great
Until
win.
Until he beats him, and it's a boring, terrible fight.
On paper, great win, except if you watch that fight, you're like, what am I doing with you now? I'm not really sure what I'm doing with you now.
Yeah, because he already fought Alexander a while back and lost, and then now they're training partners, so... I don't know. And Alexander's fighting Jones.
And I don't
think he's
ready for that. I think he's getting to that level. But I mean,
are you talking about Gustafsson?
Yeah,
he beat Gustafsson.
Oh, he beat him.
He beat.
Alexander came to train with him, but now he's getting the title shot.
Uh huh.
Right. So, but
that's really interesting.
What I'm saying is, you put Phil Davis in against John Jones, he would eat him alive.
Maybe that's
Jones
what
would,
we pay for.
Jones
from now
would
on.
Outstrike Phil Davis all day, every day.
I hate to say it, guys, but I think Jones just has to go to heavyweight.
It's Shark Week. We always want to see the Sharks eat the seals all week long. Why don't we just do that with all the John Jones opponents
about it. Like,
from now on?
If Glover wins, I don't care. Right now, I just don't see anyone beating Jones.
Well, I mean, yeah, because if Bader beats.
Dana
White just passed out when you said if Bader beats Teixeira.
And Teixeira, I mean, yeah, I would watch that fight, but if he beats, Jones is fighting
Gustafsson, which is coming up. To me, Sean, the Gustafsson-Jones fight is the only one interesting right now.
Because of the height and the reach, cool.
And I
like it.
I think Alexander is super dynamic and could put up a fight against
Young
Jones.
Young guy, strong, I like that matchup.
But after that, I don't know, man.
Fight Glover, but then after Glover, definitely move up, you know, because there's really nothing at light heavyweight anymore.
Do you think this Cormier thing's going to happen? I mean, they've been talking trash all week.
Man, I almost cursed over.
Who's been talking trash? Wait, what did I miss?
So, Jones says he has no interest in Cormier. Cormier is saying he's a tiny child and he'll get to him when it's time to get to him. That's an interesting fight.
Yeah, I would. But here's the thing. What if Cormier goes down and then Jones is like, you're too late. I gone up. That'd be cool.
I don't think Cormier would have a problem gaining weight again.
No, I
think he'd be fine.
Yeah, I think he'd be like, we're going back up to heavyweight? Sure, let's
hang
do it.
Hang on. I'll be there in a second.
He goes to Olive Garden. I'll be right there. All these breadsticks.
When we get back, we've got news about Bellator. We've got news about Chael Sonnen.
We're talking about Bellator.
And news about Biogenesis. All of it next on Way of the War. Hands up like the ceiling can
hold. Yeah. Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Ken Evans and Sean Desay from Triumph MMA, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And we are, 9 days away from Fox Sports 1 launching. And we have a bit of an issue here, which is that the Culinary Institute is going nuclear and trying to prevent Chael Sonnen from getting a license.
Uh-oh, that moral turpitude coming into play again?
Moral turpitude is coming into play. They are claiming that he has been convicted of a crime involving moral turpitude. Heretofore, he should not be granted a license.
This is a union that's worried about moral turpitude.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not making a statement anyway on that, by the way.
I'll make the statement for you, man.
Stating a fact. But the fight, August 17th, Chael Sonnen taking on Shogun.
Is that really in jeopardy?
I don't think so. I mean, they'll just hash this out, right?
Or he'll go fight Vanderlei somewhere else, which is what I've been pining for.
Well, yes, it is, because every week I tell you it's Shogun, repeating it's Vanderlei.
I think you screwed that up, Eric.
Yes, clearly. I mean, this is just more posturing, right? I mean, they can't possibly be calling this giant event off on Fox's brand new channel that launches in 9 days.
No, they're not going to call that off by any means. I mean,
is he going to fight without a license?
Well, if you end up with Chael Sonnen not licensed, I think you still run the event. I don't think that's even a possibility. I mean, if we're really talking about that, no. They won't. All right, let's pretend.
Let's pretend.
Off to fantasy land here.
Okay.
Where we're going to have him headline a card after coming off two fights where he got demolished, Chael Sonnen.
Okay, so we're there.
We're there.
That part is real.
I was going to say, what part is this fantasy? I'm still waiting for that.
That's right. Yeah. They're not going to call off this fight night. They would love it to be huge to launch Fox Sports 1. It would be bigger, obviously, with Sonnen. Even without, you've still got a card where you've got Alistair Overeem on the card. I mean, we looked at this card last week. We're wondering why they expected us to pay pesos or whatever it was for the card in Brazil where I didn't know any of these people. I mean, we've got a card with Uriah Faber, Alistair Overeem, Travis Brown, and I know it's Brazilian reals. Don't send emails. I know what it is.
Don't laugh. You just encourage him.
It's good jokes.
Matt Brown, Mike Pyle. I mean, it's a fun little card. It would be something fun to watch on Fox Sports 1. It's a bigger card. It's a better launch with everybody's favorite gangsta from West Lynn, Oregon.
West Lynn, son.
All right. I almost forgot.
The mean streets of West Lynn.
Everybody would obviously want to see that fight. They're not going to call this card off. We're not even going to get there, though. Let me make that clear. There's no way that anywhere in Massachusetts they're going to not license this because of some letter from a union about some weird real estate scheme.
But it does say moral turpitude.
It does say turpitude.
Sounds like I should do something.
Yeah, we need to take care of the moral turpitude of the two guys that are going to a cage to punch each other. We got to worry about that.
This is my favorite part about this is that
Joe Lozon's on this card. Yeah. They're not canceling this thing.
So at the end of this letter is when I think it becomes really telling, as it's 7 years ago. On or about June 20th, 2006, in the District of Oregon. Like,
what they're worried about.
This is what should prevent him from fighting. Not that
is Massachusetts worried about Oregon anyway?
A union in Las Vegas.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on here. This is the petty BS that makes this look ridiculous when the union gets mad at the Fertittas. If you want a situation where a class of working people in this country could look worse when they're faced up against billionaires, look at this situation. It's not going to get any worse. They look ridiculous at every single turn. This is another one of them. This is just another example of petty fighting and petty bickering, and it's the reason we're not seeing it in New York as far as licensed MMA goes. And it's a reason that people kind of blow back against these unions. This is it on our little MMA scale. But this is what we're seeing. We see it across the country. We see it in political rhetoric. And this is just a small little sample of what happens to make people blow back. Because I'm from a union family. And a lot of times leaderships and unions have a disconnect with those that they're actually supposed to be serving. This is clearly an example of that disconnect where you're worried about a licensing event in Massachusetts because of something that happened in Oregon, allegedly, because of your little match with the Fertittas in Las Vegas. Do I have all that right?
I guess so, and that would lead me to not understanding the end game and probably agreeing with you, because at the end of the day, how does it help the union members? If Chael doesn't get licensed, okay, we'll go back to fantasy world, and the Shogun fight is off, and they elevate Overeem and Travis Brown to the top, and they still have the event, and it's still on Fox, and it's still on 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, and it still does really well and launches the product in the way that they want to launch it, what was the point?
Well, I don't know. Let's say they were to get what they would really like to see happen. I would assume they would like to see this event not happen at TD Garden. This is a arena in Massachusetts. Do you think there's not union workers there that would be affected by losing a night of work?
That's a good point, right?
Impossible to think. I don't know the labor situation at TD Garden. I really don't make it my business. So I can't speak to whether or not this is a union shop, but I'm trying to figure out what this end game is. And if you want to talk about that end game, Eric, there is none. They're swiping to swipe at each other at this point, and they're probably guilty on both sides. But when we see it from this side, it seems very petty and doesn't seem to have any benefit to the people they're supposed to be serving, which is their union members.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to change the subject, but the one thing I heard, and maybe someone can clarify this, but I heard that the Fox Sports 1 is going to air the first fight, the prelim first fight. So you're going to get 5 hours of footage of fighting from
the
UFC?
Yeah, they're running the prelims right on Fox Sports 1.
Yep.
So they're going to do their own prelims,
so to
speak.
They're doing everything from the prelims to...
Yeah, because they're essentially, Sean...
Undercard and then main card.
Yeah, they're essentially going to truncate...
That's 5 hours of fighting.
Uh-huh. Truncating everything that they've been doing. So FX
can't even get that with pay-per-view, man.
Right, I know. So FX and Fuel essentially go away on August 17th. FX becomes one of them's a movie channel.
One's like FXX or something.
There's going to be a Fox Sports 1 and 2.
Right, but FX one of them is going to be movies, and the other one's going to be shows, right?
FXX and then FX are still going. FX is still going to be there. Then they're going to spin some stuff off to FXX. You can't figure out what their actual plan
is. No, but I thought I had read something.
That was their original
plan.
That
one was going to be the movie channel and the other one was going to, but whatever. So fighting is going to leave those channels and go to Fox Sports 1, and what better way to do that than to give you something that when we pay $60, we don't even get.
5 hours of fighting.
5 hours of fights for free.
Yeah, it starts at 6, goes to 11. Yeah.
See? And this is what I'm saying. So,
I got a big flat screen TV too, man.
As excited as I am to see Shogun and Chael, it's not going to stop me from watching 5 hours of free fights.
Well, the other thing too, I think you guys are really going to enjoy, because I don't think either of you have Fuel, right?
Correct.
The UFC fight nights are going to move to Fox Sports 1, which is going to clearance much higher than Fuel ever did. And I really think when you see basically what I would call it is an ESPN imprint on the pregame,
yep.
You don't see that on ESPN. You get the fight reporters. I mean, the guys that they have there doing work do great job at ESPN, but they don't do a pre-fight show like the NFL gets. We get a small version of that when we see fights on Fox. I think people are going to really enjoy UFC Fight Night. They're going to get a preview of what's coming up tonight. You're going to get to look at some of these fighters. You don't necessarily know who they are, but you're going to get a little bit of background. The pre- and post-fight shows on Fuel TV are a reason in and of themselves to have Fuel TV. You're going to have this automatically jump over to Fox Sports 1. They're going to start that at 5. So check that out before the 5 hours of fighting. That's going to be at 5 o'clock on Fox Sports 1 coming up a week from tomorrow. So I think that's going to be a big deal too. So,
And what that feels like, regardless of this culinary deal, but what this feels like and the excitement that Sean and I are having is that this feels like, not that this is game, set, match, but this feels a lot closer to what I feel like on Sunday afternoons when I start watching
TV
at
noon.
You know?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
When I start watching Fox at noon to get ready for the Lions or the Bears or whatever I'm going to watch, there's that hour of them walking through the injuries and this game and that, and I get really excited. Then I watch the two games, and then I have dinner, and I'm done. And this is the same thing. I'm going to get a pregame, then I'm going to get the event, then I'm going to get the after game, and it's going to be an event.
And the cool thing is this is a sport that I understand every single word that they're being said.
Right.
Because you know, I love football. I played it. But there's sometimes where they talk about a certain player, you know, who got drafted or he.
I am the same way.
You know,
yes.
I'm like, really? Okay, so steroids, no steroids? Okay, whatever. You know what I mean? But but now we're talking about, you know, fighters that I know. I'm like, yeah, this is great all day.
And it's a much easier option, too, to check in and check out. I mean, I'm a huge NFL fan, but if a game's a blowout or something else is going on, I can check out of that game if it's not my team.
Sure.
And come back later in the day. I know there's going to be Sunday night football that night. I know there's an afternoon game.
Right.
I can come in and out, and you're going to give people a little bit of that option here. Do I expect a ton of casual fans to, you know, set their timer at 5 o'clock and then be there until midnight when the post fight is over? No, but that block is there, and that block is essentially live programming, something that is rarer and rarer in television, something that is still a moneymaker in television. That's where the money goes. Think about everything you watch on TV. If it's not live, more than likely, if you're listening to this show and you're in our target audience, you have TV shows on a DVR.
Yep.
You don't watch commercials.
Nope.
You might be listening to this on the iHeartRadio Talk Network, which has fewer commercials than some of the traditional broadcast stations. And that is where we're going here. The exception is obviously live events. And UFC has a lot of live time that they can put on the air, and they're going to get a lot of love from Fox Sports because this is going to be their cornerstone.
Well, and Ken, they've proven time and time again with this relationship with Fox that they can, when it matters, they can put on events that get people to start talking. And, yes, I agree with you. A casual fan, not going to watch 6 hours in totality of fighting from start to finish. However, as you know, if on Saturday night you're home and you're flipping through and you see Alton Brown and the Food Network and you see Pawn Stars and you go, and then two dudes are clobbering each other in the head, you're probably going to stop and go, what is this thing?
And all they need is about 10 minutes of you viewing. And
yep.
That's all they need,
yeah,
man.
It's going to be interesting, too, because I know that the carriage deal, I don't think is officially done yet. But I think for me, DirecTV, it's at 6:07. Is where Fox Sports 1 is going to be.
Gotcha.
Which isn't ideal. I think they want to be in that NBC Sports range where if you have DirecTV, and I use them as an example because they kind of drive the industry, especially in satellite. They kind of set their channels all up. You saw NBC Sports Network. When it came on, it was up in that 600 range.
Yes.
It's now at 220, which is right next to the sports tier.
Yep.
I think that's where Fox Sports 1 wants to be, so it'll be interesting. if they can do it and do when you, they can do it.
Do you remember how long it took them to make that transition?
It didn't take long. I feel like the NBC deal was in place and they just had to do that thing where if you have DirecTV, you know what I'm talking about, where they put up that little banner for the better part of 8 months, letting you know
what
channel's going to
move. Right now it's Oblivion. So if you want to watch a Tom Cruise movie, that's what it is. Right
so,
now.
Yeah, you can do that and set your DVR for Low Winter Sun.
and that one too, yes.
That's what you have right now. It's going to be interesting, too, because I know Dish Network's got it in the 150s, which is a great channel placement. Obviously, your local cable system, dude, deal with that yourself. I don't know. Go online. Don't ask me. But it's always fun to watch DirecTV because they negotiate the hardball way in these deals usually. I mean, they're the ones that can kind of set where you want to be because cable has to chase them because they have some of the top-tier sports packages.
Yep.
So to see where DirecTV puts a sports network is very telling. At this point, it looks like it's simply going to take over that 607 slot. If it moves down, you know, they could be a player, and it'll be interesting to see.
And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this. And we're going to talk about the pound per pound rankings because they came out this week. And while they've been like this for a week and a half, it got me thinking about how far Anderson Silva really should have fallen after Weidman. We'll talk about it next.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Ken Evans and Sean Desay from Triumph MMA covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. You can find us, as always, on the Fight Fans Radio Network and on the iHeartRadio Talk platform. We are available on demand so you can play catch up and talk about whatever it is that you've heard that you want to converse about. If you want to converse about our lack of knowledge of Union and their love affair with the UFC.
Yeah, people are really going to be angry about unions and the Brazilian form of currency this week. I think those are the two things so far in the prior segments.
Probably the two things that they're going to be maddest about, yes. We talked about Chael Sonnen and Shogun and whether or not that's going to happen because Chael hasn't been licensed. And before we move on, I wanted to point out, because Sean loves it when I point this stuff out, is the only time we ever talk about Bellator is when Bellator talks about UFC. And this week, Bjorn Rebney decided that he was going to take a shot at the UFC and point out why that they're a better product than the UFC. And he said,
Wait.
Hold, please. You can jump in just a second. He said, quote, our point of difference is that we're a real sports competition. When it boils down to world title fights, when it boils down to crowning our champion at 170, 55, 45, or whatever weight class, guys are going to earn the right to fight a champion, and they're going to have to beat the champion. It's the toughest tournament in sports. It's real sports competition. We're not sitting around waiting for some wrestler to lose two fights, then bark his way into a 205 world title fight. That's just not the essence of what we do.
I call, I'm not going to call right now, but I do have a point with his statement because King Mo got knocked out back in February or January, whatever it was, against a guy named Emmanuel something. The spinning
back fist. I think it was Emmanuel Stewart.
No.
It was not Emmanuel Stewart.
No. No.
Not in this
case. So the guy hits him with a spinning back fist, knocks him out, and then apparently the guy fights like a month later and wins by another knockout, and then he gets injured for the tournament. So guess who gets pushed through the tournament and wins the tournament?
Huh, is that King Mo?
Yeah.
That's weird, dude.
Wow. So
let's pretend they didn't set that all up and they weren't lying about the
whatever.
Whole injury
so
thing.
Bjorn, you know what, man? Just shut up.
This is a company that's trying to now make their name on Tito Ortiz and Rampage Jackson.
Oh, so this is where I wanted to go, okay? And I was going to talk about this in the next segment, but we can switch these things around because we're here now. So, yes, they signed Tito Ortiz and Rampage Jackson to form Tito Jackson.
Tito Jackson? I want to see him fight.
There you go.
The dude that killed his brother, they should put them in a cage.
So,
ouch.
They signed both of these guys, and 3 weeks ago we were talking about Rampage and Roy Jones Jr., and Roy didn't sign. It turns out it was Tito who signed. And November
2nd. Wolf tickets!
Right. What?
What?
Never even got that. They were selling that fight for 3 weeks.
Right. Wolf tickets for that, and then Wolf tickets for this.
Come on, Bjorn.
November 2nd, they're going to do their first pay-per-view, where they're going to charge no less than
$35. $35.
And as Ken has pointed out,
because I said, what, $1.99, right?
Right, but as Ken has pointed out, that when you buy that on whatever your provider is, technically, that $35 is in standard definition. If you want high definition, you tack on another $10. So $45 to see Tito Ortiz and Rampage Jackson go against each other. As if that isn't bad enough, these two guys make their debut and announce that they're going to fight on November 2nd, and then immediately crossover to TNA and start a feud with
TNA Impact Wrestling.
Impact
Pro Wrestling.
Pro Wrestling the next night and start a feud with one another in a fake fighting organization after announcing that they're going to fight for real on November 2nd.
You know what, dude? I'm confused. You spun me out of reality a little
this
bit.
And this is kind of my point, is that when Bellator decides it wants to take shots at the UFC, we know that Vince McMahon, who is the owner of the WWE, the World Wrestling Entertainment Federation.com underscore photos, he is the owner. He is friends with Dana White. They talk. They have a relationship.
They share business ideas.
Well, probably. I don't know that they do that, but they will never cross because they know that the magic is in not crossing.
Okay, you know, I agree with that.
They know the magic is
they
in
won't
not
cross at the same time.
Yes.
Ever.
They will. You will never see Brock Lesnar fight in the WWE, and because you love it so much. It's only because you put that weird shark
photo
on my Facebook
page. Did you like that photo, by the way?
Yeah, Brock Lesnar, he's back. We're going to talk about that in the next segment.
You know, so you'll never see him fight a great white shark in a cage in the WWE and then show up at UFC 201 to fight Cain Velasquez. That's not going to happen. Right. But that's essentially what you just did here. You put him on TV, on Bellator, and said, these guys are going to fight in their first ever pay-per-view. How excited are you for a real fight between these two mixed martial arts icons? And then an hour later, they're in a steel cage with Kurt Angle on TNA Impact Wrestling trying to sell an angle of a totally different feud that they're going to have.
So whoever wins, the contract states that the other guy, if the winner wins a real fight, then he has to lose in the fake wrestling
fight. I don't know what's going on there.
So they can build a rubber match or something out of it. Or
sure, I mean, hell, not? You could do that.
Yeah, sure, why not?
What? But I don't want to criticize them that much for that.
TNA called. They want to hire you.
Yeah.
So.
Sean's got a new job next week. Look, Japan's gotten away with this for a while. I don't fault them for trying it out. What I do have a problem with is that quote you read earlier. What they're doing
our
now.
Our point of difference is that we're real sports competition. What's the point of difference of professional wrestling, Ken?
I don't know.
Well, it's not real sports competition.
No, but is that their point of difference between TNA? Are they trying to make sure that they know that? I don't know what Bjorn's saying here. What I'm thinking and what I would call them out on is the fact that they want to say that, and then they want to legitimize their championship, so to speak, and then they want to headline their pay-per-view with a couple of guys, one guy who's at least washed up, I'll say that, one guy who nobody knew, by the way, when he walked into that TNA crowd, so it makes your product look terrible when your guy comes out and the crowd's sitting there and it's crickets you can hear.
Well, it makes your product terrible when the two guys you assigned to do your first pay-per-view are 0-6 in the last 24 months.
Well, and
0-6.
And I didn't mind the Rampage signing. And you know what? Bjorn, I could be on board. I know maybe Sean would be a little different here and Eric would probably end up in the middle like everything else we have. But this would be a situation where, Bjorn, if you want to own it, own it. We want two guys you've never seen in the cage against each other. We want two guys that the fans know and love. You can stretch that love term as far as
sure.
You want promoting a pay-per-view. They're not owning that.
Ken, there is no doubt that there are people that love both of these guys.
I'm not doubting that. And I bet I would venture to say we're 3 for 3 in this room that would want to see that fight. Now, we can argue about price point. We can argue where it should be. I don't think anybody has an argument that if you're the organization putting on this fight, you don't start throwing mud at a company saying you've got the best champions and you've got the most real champions and that's what your company is going to be known for when you're putting a guy in there who howls and wears a chain and another guy who doesn't seem to know what country he's from. Never decides on one flag. So that's what you've done.
And he doesn't have dual citizenship.
Own that. Really? Really? You should have told me to sit down because I'm shocked. Own that. Be a part. You know what? This is Viacom. We can make fun of the price point and all of that. This is not a situation where I would say even Strikeforce, where they tried to put that boxing imprint on it with the Showtime help. This is not them trying to go on to pay-per-view or Affliction. This is Viacom. They know how to do TV. They know what they need their price point to be in their negotiation levels with companies.
But they clearly don't know how to do fighting.
I don't know if they know how to do fighting or not.
I'm telling you right now they don't know how to do fighting.
I think they know how to do TV. And I think
that's different.
No, that's totally different. But I think what a lot of people are getting hung up on is the fact of, oh, my God, I can't believe you're going to pay-per-view with this. I think you could make this work. I think you got to have a $19.95 price point. That would be my suggestion. and you got to try to put on a couple guys on that undercard. You want a spotlight. You need to get some eyeballs. I don't know if you do that on pay-per-view. Would they be better served putting this on a regular show where they would crown one of their higher division champions or have a guy
or
rematch a guy? Probably.
Sure. Or, Sean, let me see if you would like this, because I might. 1995, I might buy this. You pick a single weight class in your Bellator tournament, and you do the tournament that night, and the night is encapsulated by the Tito Rampage fight. You do a tournament on pay-per-view.
Okay, I'll give this to Sean. Second from the top, Tito Rampage.
Because the championship would be the last one.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Co-main event.
See, now he's in.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
As an MMA fighter, something you can't actually see goes back to his crazy quote.
As long as it's not the heavyweight tournament, then we're good.
I don't know. That's the guys maybe you want to put out there.
No,
people love heavyweights.
Bellator's heavyweights.
Their heavyweights are terrible.
It's gross, actually.
Ooh. It's gross. They have gross heavyweights. This is the.
It looks like a bunch of Roy Nelsons out there, man.
You guys are not going to get this on Bleacher Report Radio. I'll just tell you that.
Why not?
Bellator's gross.
No, their heavyweight division's gross.
It is.
Our point of differentiation on this show.
Yes, our why.
We will tell you how gross
Bellator's heavyweight division is.
Sean Dezay and Eric O'Brien will turn into 13-year-old girls when you talk about the heavyweight division on Bellator.
Well, you've been fighting all your life. That's your analysis? Gross?
Well, I have other words for fat people. I just, gross
oh,
is the one.
All right. Okay.
Hey, the music's here.
Yeah,
what a
here,
coincidence.
Here it goes. All right.
Is that the wrap it up beat?
Yes, that's totally it. All right. When we come back, we'll wrap up the rest of the news, get Sean under control.
Call Cole Conrad.
Write a letter to Cole Conrad and Brock Lesnar. We'll do it next. It's Way of the
Warrior. See that other fat guy?
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Ken Evans and Sean Dezay. We finally got everything under control. I have kicked them out to finish up covering everything that's going on in the world of mixed martial arts. Remember, you can get the show on demand as part of the iHeartRadio Talk platform. You can get that at iHeartRadio.com. Plus, you can get it on demand as part of the Fight Fans Radio Network. We are available everywhere. And we are available whenever you would like us on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. Couple things popped up this week that I want to talk about. Number one is when we did the rankings this past Saturday night for the UFC official rankings, I took a look at the pound-for-pound champions. And Anderson has slipped 3 to 4 places, depending on who you are looking at. And I thought, is this one loss big enough? And I don't have the answer. I'm looking for you to jump on Facebook, jump on Twitter, and tell me what you think. But is the loss to Chris Weidman enough for him to fall to fourth place of the greatest fighter of all time? Because even though I kind of step in line with that from time to time, I'm not sure that if I sit down and think about it, I really think that that's true. And I wonder if we're becoming victims of now, where this loss, as ridiculous as it was, and the showboating that he did, that he deserved to be knocked down four pegs, but when you look at it, let's say a year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years down the road, will that one loss really be that big of a deal? Maybe, or maybe it won't. You decide. On Twitter and Facebook, just let us know what you think. Henan Barão had great news saying that Dominic Cruz is ready. Or readier, if that's a word. February, it looks like they are eyeing their final match where they can actually take the interim belt and the actual belt at 135, put them together, and we can figure out which one of these guys is the true champion. Henan has been very, very busy. Dominic not. So the rust is going to be a real thing and something that Dominic is going to have to overcome and something that I think we all look forward to checking out. So February is when we're going to eye that match between Henan Barão and Dominic Cruz at 135 pounds. Ronda Rousey had a crazy statement she made this week saying that she is the best blank fighter in the world. Period. End of statement. And while it might be a little bit early, nine fights into her career, I'm not sure that a lot of people are going to jump on board and say that you're the best fighter in the world yet. That's not to say she could not be, but winning all of your fights using the exact same move makes you the best armbar specialist in the world? Absolutely. Does it make you the best fighter? Not necessarily. We'll find out, though, when she takes on Miesha Tate in December, right before we get to see the rematch of Weidman and Anderson, to see where Anderson lands in the greatest of all time in the pound-for-pound rankings. Another question floating around the internet this week, is it time for 195? And again, one that I'm not sure I have the answer to. 195 pounds, an interesting call, but 10 pounds away from 185, 10 pounds away from 205. Is it maybe time to adjust those a little bit more and make some space so that we have a different sort of catch weight? Or is 195 the one we're looking for? You decide. On Twitter and Facebook, we are asking that question as well. And one last bit of Ronda Rousey news, because what better way to head off into the weekend? We know that she's in Expendables, and this week announced that she is going to be in Fast and Furious 7. While I'm excited for Ronda, my hope is that she doesn't scamper off and just go do movies. I think it would be very exciting for her to stick around a while and cement her place in women's MMA as a champion for a long, long time to come. These are excellent opportunities for her to get a different look in front of some different people, but I would love it if she would stick around as opposed to getting the bug and then taking off, a la Randy Couture, a la whoever you would like to insert into that. You need anything all weekend long, you know where to find us. We are on Twitter and Facebook. Just search WOW Show. Find us on demand on iHeartRadio. And, of course, part of the Fight Fans Radio Network, Sway the Warrior.
Yeah. Baby, baby.